Radio Prague News.
A former culture minister and two others have been given conditional sentences in connection with the Czech radio Chateau sale. Activists walking to Aleppo to try and end the Syrian war have arrived in the Czech Republic, and the death toll from the extreme cold in Prague has risen to 6. The District Court for Prague 2 has given 10-month conditional sentences to three people, former Culture Minister Jiří Balvin, former Deputy Head of Czech Radio Michal Koliander, and businessman Jan Hnilička, suspected of corruption. This in connection with the attempted sale of a chateau in Přerov nad Labem, which belongs to Czech Radio. In addition, each man has also been ordered to pay a 240,000 crown fine. The ruling reverses an earlier decision from April last year in which the three were found not guilty based on insufficient evidence. Monday's decision is not final. Two of the three defendants have already appealed, the Czech news agency confirmed. As a consequence of the case, the planned tender on the sale of the chateau was cancelled by the broadcaster. The region of Central Bohemia expressed an interest in obtaining the property last year. A group of around 50 activists traveling on foot from Germany to Aleppo in the hope of ending the war in Syria and civilian casualties reached the Uski region of the Czech Republic on Monday morning. Participants are working with a local priest to help organize the Czech part of their stay and journey. They are also being accompanied by Czech traffic police to ensure they are safe when traveling on the road, as recent snowfall has lowered visibility and led to poor conditions. The march to Aleppo is the idea of German journalist and blogger Anne Alboth. The number of participants has grown and fallen between cities since the group set out from Berlin. 6 people in Prague died from extreme cold since last Thursday, likely all homeless people, even though shelters reportedly still had room and were not full to capacity. One of the victims is believed to have taken his life. Harsh nighttime conditions well below 0 degrees Celsius have claimed lives not just in the Czech Republic, but across Europe. In other news, the unemployment rate in the Czech Republic grew slightly in December, rising to 5.2% from 4.9% the previous month. Officials from the Office of Labor said on Monday that the development was typical for the end of the year, when seasonal work ends, and that the figure was still the best recorded for December since 2008. The number of people out of work last month was just over 381,000. A smog alert has been declared in the Zlín region in southern Moravia after double the permissible limit for airborne dust particles was recorded in half of the region's weather stations. People were advised to keep their windows closed, not to overly exert themselves outdoors, and to keep car journeys to a minimum. The worst level of pollution has been recorded in the Vsetín area. Finally, a quick look at the forecast. Tuesday should be cloudy with sunny periods, but the cold weather is continuing. Daytime temperatures of around only -6 or -7 degrees Celsius are expected. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's it for the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, Czech charities scramble to help the homeless as Arctic weather grips the Czech Republic. We look at Czech companies betting on their future in Las Vegas. We have the roundup of the latest Czech sports news, and later on in the program, Czech Radio's former correspondent in South America, David Kolbek, tells us all about reporting on a World Cup and Olympics in Brazil. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Arctic conditions, with nighttime lows dropping to minus 30 degrees Celsius in places, are making life difficult for people around the country. For homeless people, the conditions are life-threatening, and charity organizations are scrambling to meet the challenge, expanding the capacity of their shelters and seeking out homeless people to offer assistance. Even so, 6 people are reported to have frozen to death since the onset of Arctic conditions last Thursday. Daniela Lazarová spoke to Pavla Vopelákova from the Czech branch of the Salvation Army about what is being done and whether the emergency measures taken are sufficient.
This is really sad news that there are still people freezing on the streets in the Czech Republic. I believe there are beds sufficient. You know, the question is whether everybody knows about it. The Salvation Army has been providing emergency accommodation since December, but of course the capacities during this Arctic weather are increasing, and there are places available. And even if our night shelters or day centers are full, we still have a list of other accommodations, so we can forward the client to another place where a bed or a chair it's still available, and he can spend the night in this Arctic weather in a safe environment.
I know that some homeless people don't actually want to go to shelters. Are you able to help those if they don't come to you by sending out food or medicine or something like that?
We have a night street program, so we have street workers which are driving through the night, you know, looking for these people. But of course, we try to put them in a shelter, or even if it's just sitting on the chair in the day center, because if they are sleeping rough or if they still stay on the street, you know, it can really lead to death. You know, this is a life-threatening situation. So, yes, we can provide blankets. We can give them basic food or hot cup of tea or coffee. But our aim is to provide accommodation or a warm shelter so they don't have to stay on the street.
Can the homeless stay inside during the day as well, or is it just night shelter that you're offering?
Yes, we also have possibility for these people during this bad weather conditions to stay in the day center through the day. So there is maybe 1 hour when they need to leave, so we can clean up the center after the full night. But yes, they can stay inside and they can be warm.
And do you offer hot food? Hot drinks.
We offer hot drinks and also a hot soup, because that's essential and that's necessary so people can warm up. There is also increased capacity in one of our hostels in Vatskov, also in Prague, and people get blankets. So when they come for the first night, they get a blanket, and they can keep the blanket. If they lose the blanket, you know, we still have some more available, so they can get another one. So we are very grateful for any kind of donations from the public, especially regarding warm shoes, warm coats, scarves, gloves, anything that can warm up the people.
How many homeless people are we talking about in Prague, and how many beds do you have for them?
Well, we are discussing, or the statistics say that there are approximately about 4,000 people living rough in Prague. I think the capacities are sufficient. You know, we don't have capacity, of course, for 4,000 people, but some of them are living in squats or other kind of shelter. But for those that are coming to our premises, the capacity is still okay. And as I mentioned, we are increasing the capacity. So if the day center was closed, we can now have up to 100, 120 people sitting in the chair in the day center also through the night. So there is no need for anybody to stay on the street. And I would just appeal to the public, if you see somebody, please tell them, you know, that there is possibilities to contact the Salvation Army or other NGO in the city so they are safe. Because if they stay on the street in this weather, it is life-threatening.
Pavla Vopeláková from the Czech branch of the Salvation Army talking there to my colleague Daniela Lazarová. The world's biggest showcase for consumer technology firms, tech heads, and those wanting to get a glimpse of the latest innovations has just closed its doors. Some Czech companies have been coming to the Las Vegas-based Consumer Electronics Show for a while now, but this time round it has also been a showcase for the first time for some Czech startups. Chris Johnston has more.
Over the last 50 years, it was launched in 1967, the Consumer Electronics Show has developed as the place to see and be seen if you've got a cutting-edge application or design. Everyone from the world's biggest consumer electronics multinationals to the startup from the guy in his garage is on show. And with the Czech Republic seeking to boost its reputation as a regional technology hotbed, established and startup companies use the four-day event to set out their wares. One of the established show participants is the Czech 3D printing company, Prusa Research, which has already sold tens of thousands of printers worldwide and been recognised as one of the best printers of its kind in its price range. The company, founded by 27-year-old Josef Prusa when he borrowed 200,000 crowns off his parents, now produces around 3,000 printers a month and employs 90 people. and it's been able to maintain its rocketing growth record, which has surged from a turnover of 2.5 million crowns in 2014 to 250 million crowns currently.
No one believed that we could do it. At the start, when you are developing, it's easy to go from 100,000 to 200,000. That's 100% growth. But in the phase we're in now, it's more difficult, but we are still doing very well. From the turnover findings of the last few months, it looks like we will be hitting the 1 billion crown mark.
The price tag for the Las Vegas presence does not come cheap, at around 500,000 crowns, but Prusher believes it will be worth it.
If a company is coming to CES, it has to have a good enough product so that it can be paid for from the earnings. If the company is a startup, then there's the Eureka Park.
Eureka Park is the haven for the startups, with around 600 firms from 33 countries taking part, and Czech companies, four in all, were there for the first time, thanks in part to help from the Czech state agency to promote business, Czech Invest. One of those startups is Six Guys Labs. It's come up with a series of applications and equipment that allow a pet owner to track the activity of their dog and cat and calculate whether their food and water intake is what it ideally should be. The tracker on the lead is linked to the food bowl. Robert Hoshek is the company's representative.
Our product is primarily aimed at the US market, where there is a big problem with obesity.
Other Czech startups putting a bet on the Las Vegas presence were a Brno company offering a tailored connectivity and entertainment for the aged, a Děčín-based photo treatment and services firm, and an Ostrava producer of electric skateboards from the latest high-tech materials.
Chris Johnston with that report, and now I'm joined in the studio by Ian Willoughby with a summary of the latest Czech sports news.
We begin today with biathlon, and it was a wonderful weekend for the Czech Republic. Reigning World Cup winner Gabriela Kokalová first won the sprint at Germany's Oberhof before moving into first place overall in the competition, with a second place finish in the pursuit on Saturday. But things got even better the following day when, in a dream finish for Czech fans, Kokalová reinforced her lead overall by coming first in the mass start event and was joined on the podium by compatriot Eva Posarčíková, who came third. Kokalová, who's 27, said shared glory was all the more enjoyable and that she hoped the Czechs could continue their current run.
It's definitely something like winning the relay, when the joy is fourfold. Today, when I realize how things had turned out and how well we did, there's nothing better. It feels like a dream. I hope we can continue on this way for as long as possible, and I hope our good form hasn't come too soon. But this is the climax of the season, and we're doing all we can to stay in the best shape possible. Not only mentally, but also physically.
Gabriela Kokalová's win on Sunday was her 16th in the Biathlon World Cup, and it leaves her 15 points clear on this season's leaderboard. It was also a great weekend for the Czech Republic speed skaters, with Karolina Urbanová taking gold in the European Sprint Speed Skating Championships in the Dutch city of Heerenveen. The four-event sprint category had been included in the European competition for the first time. Urbanová's better-known colleague Martina Sáblíková, a multiple Olympic winner, took silver in the European All-Round Speed Skating Championships. Sáblíková was defending champion going into the event, but her coach said second place was almost a miracle given that she had been suffering from health problems. And not to be outdone, the Czech Republic's female tennis players also had a very successful weekend. The country's top player, Karolina Plíšková, won the Brisbane International in Australia after overcoming France's Alice Cornet 6-love, 6-3 in Saturday's final. It was her first competition under new coach David Kotiza. And it was the 24-year-old's seventh WTA title and sees her climb to a career-high fifth in the world rankings. Meanwhile, 20-year-old Katerina Siniakova won her first WTA title. She beat Alison Risk of the US 6-3, 6-4 in the final of China's Shenzhen Open on Saturday. And last, but by no means least, Andrea Hlavachkova won the doubles final in Shenzhen alongside China's Peng Shui. And that's all the sports news for today.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. David Kobek has been working at the foreign desk at Czech Radio for several years. 3 years ago, he got an offer he couldn't refuse to become the station's man in Brazil for the World Cup and the Olympic Games. And he is Ian Willoughby's guest now in this edition of One on One.
Most of us can only dream about attending a World Cup or Olympic Games. But David Kobek got to experience both as Czech Radio's correspondent in Brazil. In his 2.5 years in Rio de Janeiro, Kobek also got to travel to many other parts of South America and met all kinds of interesting people, including, he told me after his recent return to Prague, a German bohemian community proud of their Czech roots. But when we spoke, I first asked the Czech radio man how he'd managed to cover the 2014 World Cup, given the sheer vastness of Brazil.
I've calculated that I've travelled 90,000 kilometres in South America. And for the World Cup, it was 17,000 kilometres. I were in 9 host cities. That's a huge country. And it was really tough sometimes because I remember I was once in a... I don't remember the city because there were many trips during the World Cup, but I was my plane was at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was really exhausted, and the other day I was in the other host city, but it was a lot of fun, and I don't think there could be anything better to know Brazil than this crazy working period.
Tell us about when you saw the famous game in which the Brazilians were beaten by the Germans. Did you report on that?
I didn't report on the game specifically. I think my colleagues here in Prague did an off-tube broadcast of this match. So there was no one at the stadium that was commenting on the match, that was doing the live broadcast from there. But I did the reactions after the game, and it was something extraterrestrial.
It was something like a national tragedy or something.
It was a tragedy. The whole stadium was in a shock. And they were looking at each other. What's happening? What's this? Because the goals were really, really quick. Some of them were so angry that they left the stadium during the first half. And after that, I think it was the 5th German goal. And they were applauding the Germans because they are great fans of football, and when they see that their team is not good, they can be really angry with the team. If you want to make a Brazilian angry, ask this question.
At that World Cup, the Czech Republic weren't there. Obviously, they had athletes at the Olympics this summer. Was there more interest from Prague in Brazil at that time because of the Czech participation?
Yes, definitely. I have to say that I was so lucky that I was not really asked a lot of things. That doesn't mean I didn't do anything, but everything I invented, everything I proposed was accepted. So I think that there was a great cooperation between Prague and the Rio de Janeiro branch of the Czech radio. And yes, the interest was really much more broad. There were some preparations for the Olympics, so there were test events, test sport events. A lot of Czech athletes came to Rio before the Olympics, and this was a great opportunity to talk about the Czech athletes, about their trainings, and also about the preparations of the stadiums and venues in Rio de Janeiro. And a lot of the people told me that they were so surprised because the difference between what they saw during the test events and what they experienced during the Olympics was huge. Brazil is known by doing things, I would say, 5 minutes after 12. This was 1 minute to 12, but it did work.
And what was your personal standout moment of the Olympic Games? Was there any particular moment that will stay with you?
Yes. I was not present at many venues, at many events during the Olympics, because my colleagues from the sports desk came to Rio de Janeiro, so they were doing the sports things. I'm not really good at sports, but my job was to report on other things around the Olympics. Everything was in connection with the Olympics. And during the gold medal victory for the Czech Republic with Lukáš Krpálek.
In judo,
we were at the Czech house, and there was a visit of Mrs. Maristela Kubiček. She's the daughter of Juscelino Kubitschek, of the great Brazilian president that is one of the most famous Brazilian presidents that constructed Brasilia, the new capital. She brought her grandson with her, and he never saw Olympics before, I think. And he was a great fan of Krpálek. His name is Lukas, so Lukas Kubiček, Lukas Krpálek. It was something in connection, I told him. And I made an interview with him during the ceremony. And he was so, so proud. And she was so proud. She was so, so happy about the invitation of the Czech Olympic Committee to the Czech house and the opportunity to see the Czech golden medal. So she told me she feels more Czech than Brazilian in the time. Brazilians are really great on emotions. They are very emotional people. So she is also an emotional woman. She was really living that moment very, very emotionally. She hugged me and she kissed me because she was so happy. This is the highlight of a personal one and an emotional one of the Olympics. And then I felt a lot of emotions, a lot more emotions during the Paralympic Games. That was great. The public was more Brazilian than during the Olympics, and they were great.
Apart from those two enormous events, did you have any particularly memorable other reporting assignments?
I had a lot of meetings. I had a lot of encounters during the 2.5 years. And every meeting with an interesting person, that means with a person who achieved something. It could be the poorest person, but that has a goal, that has achieved something, was a great one. I think Brazil is a country, or South America is a continent of limited opportunities, but the people are trying hard. And every time I met such a person, it was great. And I remember some of the meetings with a lot of people and some interesting meetings. I met a younger brother of Ernesto Che Guevara in his hometown. That was a coincidence, a total coincidence. It was an interesting interview, and a lot more interviews that were very interesting.
Typically, when you said that you came from the Czech Republic, what was their reaction and what was their perception of the Czech Republic?
Usually they don't know Czech Republic. They usually know Czechoslovakia. Sometimes it's worth explaining, sometimes not. Maybe if you say Prague, a lot of particularly Brazilians know more about Prague. They like Prague. A lot of Brazilians came to Prague before the crisis. And they're spreading the great name of Prague throughout Brazil. So talking about Prague with the Brazilians is easier than talking about the Czech Republic. But I usually said that Juscelino Kubitschek, the president, had Czech ancestors. But it doesn't mean a lot. Every Brazilian has a lot of ancestors from a lot of places. So this is an immigrant country. The Indians, the indigenous people count for 0.something% of the population. So this mixture, this melting pot is also very interesting. So everybody's from somewhere in Brazil.
And is there a Czech community in Brazil or in Rio?
In Rio, there are some people, I wouldn't call it a community. There is a Czech community in small places in Brazil, in Batay Porão, which is in Czech, it's Batiová Dobrá Voda.
I was going to say, that's the town that was established by Jan Antonín Batia.
Exactly. And there are three more towns that he established, Bataguasu, Batay Porã, as I said, Batatuba, and Mariápolis. He was a great entrepreneur, and unfortunately he died very soon.
But are there still like Czech communities in those places?
There is a Czech community, a great Czech community in Batay Porão. They have the elementary school of Jan Antonín Batia, and they have a Czech teacher in Batay Porão. There are two Czech teachers that teach Czech language in São Paulo. And the other is in one half of the year in Batay Porão, and one half of the year in Nova Petrópolis, in the south of Brazil. There is a community of Czech Germans or Bohemian Germans. They call themselves Böhmish. and they are proud of their Bohemian origins. They are Germans, but they really feel strong ties with what is now Czech Republic. And they don't care about the Second World War. They don't care about the expulsion of the Germans after the Second World War, because they feel this is their home, and they come back and they visit the cemeteries and the places that their families used to live. And they have a Czech teacher. They try to speak Czech, and it's so funny sometimes, but it's very emotional as well.
My final question, David, is after 2.5 years in this really colorful country of Brazil, how has it been readjusting to living here again?
It's not that hard. Maybe the weather is really different because I came from the summertime to the wintertime, but it's not that hard. Living abroad for some time makes you more resistant to the changes. And the only thing I miss are smiles. I think Czechs should smile more, but I can see a lot of smiles, especially in the Czech radio.
Czech Radio's former correspondent in South America, David Koubek, was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.